Welcome to your Health and Eating Well Report. This is your host, Shelley Kapuser. Over the next couple weeks, we will share articles about Thanksgiving and yummy recipes, so keep a recording device handy. First, tapping into gratitude. If you face the day with a thankful mindset, science says you may feel happier, sleep better, and react more calmly to, well, a lot. Yet so many of us spend our time complaining rather than appreciating. How can you change that? We've got the answers, by Jennifer King Lindley. There are those moments when sunlight pierces the clouds as if in a painting, your partner unexpectedly cleans the whole house on a whim, or your computer miraculously unfreezes after what you feared was a disastrous death spiral, and a warm feeling of gratitude pours over you. If you didn't have next-door neighbors, you'd toss open the shutters and start singing like Maria on an Austrian hilltop. Then there are most days. You know, the ones where you're laser-focused on prepping for your big work meeting, or your endless to-do list, or an upcoming holiday gathering. And you simply don't think to pause and appreciate all the wonderful things and people that surround you. You are in no mood to sing. In fact, you kind of have a headache. Thankfulness has pretty much disappeared from your daily routine, and that's unfortunate, because practicing gratitude isn't just about manners. It's an important and effective form of self-care. Gratitude is a powerful way to boost well-being, says Amy Gordon, PhD, a research scientist at the University of California, San Francisco. A growing body of research links regular doses of gratitude to better sleep, greater happiness, and possibly even lower blood pressure. And the times when it feels hardest to practice gratitude, that may be when you get the most out of it, she says. Robert Emmons, PhD, a leading expert on the science of gratitude, defines it as an awareness and appreciation for the goodness in our lives. It happens when we recognize the source of good is outside ourselves, say, Aunt Jean, who made you the cozy socks, or Mother Nature, who provided the dazzling night sky. Because it is other-focused, gratitude can also act as emotional spackle in relationships. When you acknowledge your spouse for that emergency dry cleaning run, your exchange may bring you closer. We will show you how to incorporate this emotion into your everyday life a bit more. How to overcome instinct. If your glass often seems half empty and chipped, cut yourself a break. Some experts say that humans evolved to be on high alert for bad things. Our caveman predecessors, who scanned the horizon for the saber tooth instead of stopping to smell the wildflowers, had the right idea. They survived to reproduce. Today, the threats are different, but looking out for potential problems may still be our default, forcing life's blessings to fade into the background. Gratitude is also tricky because most of us have a natural tendency to adapt swiftly to changing circumstances. This works to our benefit when terrible things happen. For example, you might think the world has ended when you file for a divorce. But a year or two later, most people rate themselves at their pre-split level of happiness. Alas, we get used to positive changes quickly, too, and that means we often take them for granted. When I moved into my new house, I felt so grateful to live there. I thought the hardwood floors were gorgeous, and the windows let in so much light, recalls Gordon. But within months, I was complaining the floor squeaked, and the windows were cold in the winter. And our modern world presents plenty of other obstacles. Gratitude requires pausing and soaking in the things around you in a mindful way, says Christine Carter, PhD, author of The Sweet Spot, How to Accomplish More by Doing Less. but constant busyness has become our culture's default mode. We don't make time for the stillness gratitude requires. But here's some insight to be thankful for. Understanding these obstacles is the first step to finding workarounds to make a gratitude practice stick. You don't need to carve out special time. Hey, it's hard enough to get to the gym and take your vitamins. According to Emmons, the best way to practice gratitude is to integrate it into your everyday. In time, it will become a habit. Think of yourself as a curator of your own moments of joy, says writer A.J. Jacobs, whose book on gratitude, Thanks a Thousand, A Gratitude Journey, is out this month. Your goal is to collect the good stuff. Appreciate your blessings. Ready to feel grateful? Experts share surprisingly simple tactics to get you saying thanks and meaning it today. Acknowledge your invisible helpers. While writing his book, Jacobs traveled the world to thank everyone involved in the creation of his morning cup of coffee. The lid designer, the bean growers. It can take hundreds of people for one thing to happen in our lives. You totally take them for granted, he says. Practice a less ambitious version close to home. If you are picking up your turkey at the farmer's market, take 10 seconds to look the farmer in the eye and tell her how much you have enjoyed her turkeys over the years. It will make her day, and it will make you feel happier. That's a pretty good deal for your 10 seconds, says Jacobs. Try out new words. Even if you mean it sincerely, saying thanks can come off as nothing more than a reflex to you and the person you appreciate. Mixing up your phrasing gets you out of robot mode, Jacobs found. To thank my wife one day, I said, I just want you to know I am deeply grateful that you took Lucas to the orthodontist today. She was impressed. His other faves? I can't tell you how much it means to me. Or, I just want to let you know how much I appreciate. It can jolt people into feeling the sentiment. Make a list. Intentionally looking for the positive can help you rewrite your brain's negativity bias. Rachel Finzi Woods, a psychotherapist in Santa Monica, California, keeps a running tally of 10 things she feels grateful for every day. She puts it in an email draft. But if you are interested in a more structured gratitude practice, try a written journal. It helps to keep things fresh. Unless you really feel that way each morning, you can't continue dashing off, I am grateful for my morning tea, and get as much benefit, says Gordon. To keep the ideas coming, create time for experiences that make you feel awe. A walk in a majestic forest, listening to a new piece of music, or use pre-existing pauses in your schedule to count your blessings. Make it a practice to automatically associate with the time of day, like when you wait in line at school pickup or in the shower, suggests Carter. Use all your senses. When you not only look but also touch, smell, listen, or taste, you can't help but slow down and appreciate your surroundings. Barbara Greenberg, Ph.D., a clinical psychologist in Fairfield County, Connecticut, intentionally engages multiple senses when she tends to her house plants. I have 50 of them, and first thing each morning I walk around and look at each one. Then I smell them, touch them, and maybe take a picture to capture a beautiful moment. I'm so grateful when I get to see one blooming, she says. Accept the bad, then move forward. You don't have to be blissed out to feel gratitude, says Carter. Life is complicated. You might be waiting forever. Simply acknowledge that you're peeved. Ugh, he left his boxers on the bathroom floor again. And then, try to redirect your attention to something you would miss if the person or place that's bugging you were not in your life. No more spooning sessions in the middle of the night? Okay, I'll keep him. Write a gushy email. Penning a letter of gratitude to someone who has affected your life in a positive way can boost your happiness, research shows. And it's a twofer. The recipient of your note feels good as well. So what holds people back? Senders believe receiving a letter like this might feel uncomfortable or awkward for the person they are writing to. They also underestimate how much it would be appreciated, says Amit Kumar, Ph.D., a professor of marketing at the University of Texas at Austin, who examined the question in a 2018 study in the journal Psychological Science. These were just emails, no quill pen and parchment required, but they still had a big impact. So go ahead and write that warm note to the violin teacher who always encouraged you. You'll both feel happy about it. Possible perks. Here's the science on how gratitude could do us good. Sleep. Just 2 weeks of keeping a gratitude diary with 3 exercises per week led to a boost in sleep quality per a 2015 study in Journal of Health Psychology. Increased optimism and positivity may have helped people sleep easier. Self-control. Make a gratitude list the next time you have to wait. In a study at Northeastern University, subjects asked to recall something they appreciated were better able to delay gratification. Romantic harmony. In one study, couples were instructed to express their appreciation for each other in 4 to 6 talk sessions. At the end of the study, they rated their relationships as stronger than those who used the time to chat about their day. Happiness. A study in the Journal of Positive Psychology asked subjects to spend a week recalling and writing about 3 things that had made them feel grateful or 3 things that made them feel pride. Afterward, the blessing counters rated themselves as happier than the prideful. And generosity. Subjects who were primed to feel grateful by having a disguised researcher fix their computer glitch were more likely to help strangers afterward. You may want to start your recording device. This is what nutritionists eat for breakfast. How RDs up their veggie count, sneak in superfoods, and get their days off to a great start, by Catherine DiBenedetto. Turmeric ginger granola. I bake a batch of this granola on Sunday and eat it with yogurt or as a cereal all week, says Megan Roosevelt. The prep? In a bowl, mix 2 cups gluten-free rolled oats, 1 cup unsweetened shredded coconut, 1/2 cup chopped pecans, 1/2 cup coconut oil, 5 to 10 drops stevia, 1 teaspoon ground turmeric, 1 teaspoon ground ginger, and a pinch each of sea salt and black pepper. Spread on a baking sheet and toast in the oven at 275 degrees Fahrenheit for 90 minutes, stirring often. Enjoy with milk or as a yogurt topping. The nutrition? Even though there's just a pinch of it, the black pepper is a key ingredient because it helps you absorb the anti-inflammatory and antioxidant benefits of turmeric, Roosevelt says. Her granola also stars ginger, which is thought to help with digestion, circulation, brain function, and possibly period cramps. No stress grain bowl. Marissa Moore says utilizing things in your fridge like leftover grains and veggies, you can throw this recipe together in minutes and wind up with a nutrient-packed meal. The prep? In a large skillet, heat some leftover quinoa and frozen broccoli and spinach or any cooked vegetables in your fridge. Push that mix to the side and scramble an egg in the pan. Transfer the ingredients to a bowl and add sriracha, hot sauce, or red pepper flakes to taste. The nutrition? This is a great way to get a jump start on veggies for the day, says Moore. And you get a protein kick from the egg, along with a dose of choline for stamina, she adds. Sharon Palmer shares the perfectly balanced smoothie. My goal is always to include foods from the five major groups, and this does exactly that. The prep: blend 1 cup soy milk with 1/4 cup oats, 1/2 cup frozen berries, 1/2 cup kale or spinach, and 2 tablespoons of nuts or seeds, hemp, chia, almonds, pistachios, and peanuts all work well. Sometimes I'll add a spice too, such as cardamom or ginger, says Palmer. And now, Health Magazine has an interview with Katie Lee. Life's a beach for Food Network's most charming star and newlywed. Here she talks balanced diet, body confidence, and love by Allison Prato. Do you work out with a trainer? Oh, occasionally. I work out 5 or 6 days a week, and lately I've been obsessed with Obey, which is online workouts for $27 a month. You can log in anywhere, and they have live classes and on-demand classes. I've done it in France, Italy, on the road for beach bites. I liked it so much, I invested in the company, actually. Is it hard to stay motivated working out alone, though? I felt that way when I started out, but then I realized how much time I was saving by not rushing to a class. I'll still go to a bar class or a Tracy Anderson class, but I'm a homebody, so I like anything where I don't have to leave my house. And if you still don't feel like it, I tell myself Beyonce would go do her workout. She would just keep it going. Any other benefits of working out at home? When I work out at home, I don't have mirrors, and I really like it. When I'm not working out in front of a mirror, I don't have those conversations with myself that I have in the gym when my head starts drifting in all those dark spots. Do you deal with body insecurities? I certainly do. I just try to not beat myself up. If I go out and completely indulge, which I definitely do a lot, I think, tomorrow is a new day, and I'm going to sweat it out. I always remind myself that I'm healthy, and that's the most important thing. It's hard when you get into an Instagram hole because we live in such a face-tuned world. You see all these girls in their bathing suits, and it's hard not to think, I wish I looked like that. But you can only be your own personal best. It's also exciting that we're not all supposed to look like a Barbie doll anymore. People are so accepting of different body types and shapes. I wish when I was a little girl, I'd had an alternative to Barbie. I remember thinking that's what you were supposed to look like. Big boobs, long hair, long legs. Now, there are so many different types being celebrated, and it's so much better. I used to work out to be skinny, to fit in my skinny jeans. Now, I want to be strong and feel my best. I like challenging myself and thinking, oh, I can't do this anymore, it's so hard, and then pushing through it and doing it. When's the last time you really challenged yourself physically? I went on a girls' trip in January to New Zealand with 17 women. Every day we got up and did yoga, and then went for an 8-mile hike. That really scared me because I've never been a very good hiker. But I had the best time. We'd come back and lunch tasted so good. Then we'd go to another class and go into the infrared sauna or get a massage. And we would be in bed by 8 o'clock exhausted. There was no alcohol allowed, and we were in New Zealand and really wanting that glass of Sauvignon Blanc. We left and went directly to the vineyard, actually. Let's switch gears. Was there a moment you knew your husband, Ryan, was the one? I'm not sure if there was a moment. It was more of a general feeling. I kind of thought I would never get married again. We did exactly what you're not supposed to do. We met at work. He was a producer on the first season of Beach Bites 2.5 years ago. I remember going into a production meeting in the first time and thinking, oh God, that guy is so cute. I was a little bit nervous. Did he feel the same way? He didn't know who the host of the show was when he signed on. He was like, a beach travel show with food? I'll do it. He told me later that he had seen a TV segment of me promoting my last cookbook, and he was like, I'm going to marry that girl. I was his crush. So we were friends at first, and that was great. Going from one location to another, you become really close. The more time I spent with him, the more I thought, this is the kind of life I want to live. Forget the love stuff. I really like him. People confuse what's important in relationships, and really it's finding that person you want to be with and do the same things with. What's your favorite kind of date? We love to go on food adventures together. We'll have a night where we pick out a wine we haven't had before, and we'll try it and talk about it. We are very dorky. Our favorite thing is to be in our sweatpants with our dog, eating dinner at the kitchen island. He proposed in Paris. Were you surprised? I had a feeling it was coming, because we'd talked about our future. We were taking this trip to Paris and then going on the Orient Express to Venice, and I thought, if he doesn't do it on this trip, something's wrong with him, and maybe I should reconsider, she laughs. On the second day, I went to get a massage, and I thought, I bet when I go back upstairs, he's going to have the room set up to propose. And I got upstairs, and he was asleep. But later, we got all dressed up to go out. We were getting ready to leave, and he said, do you have everything? And I said, yeah, let's go. And he goes, no, I think you're missing one thing. And he pulled out the ring. Did you celebrate with an amazing dinner? Oh, yeah. We went to this place that really gives you the meat sweats. We got escargot and roast chicken and potatoes and duck fat. I actually wore black velvet pants with an elastic waistband because I knew we were going there. So essentially, I got engaged in dressy sweats. Now that the two of you are married, what's next for you as a couple? I am so excited about this next chapter with Ryan. We both want the same things in life. I love his sense of adventure, and I look forward to all the experiences that are in store for us as a couple and hopefully one day as a family. Katie's go-to dinner for gatherings. My favorite thing to make is a whole side of salmon for a crowd. I always do a mixture of 1 tablespoon chili powder, 1/2 cup dark brown sugar, 1 teaspoon kosher salt, and 1/2 teaspoon freshly ground black pepper. I spread it over the salmon and put it in the fridge. About 40 minutes before it's time to eat, I put it in the oven at 400 degrees for 30 minutes. And when it comes out, you have this beautiful side of salmon, and everyone just kind of cuts their own piece off of it. I'll do a grain salad and a green salad to go with it, and I'll grill veggies earlier in the day and serve those at room temperature. Oh, sweet. We turned the popular Thanksgiving duo, sweet potatoes and marshmallows, into 3 new appetizers. Number 1, sweet potato marshmallow crostini. Put 3 marshmallows in a microwave-safe bowl and microwave until melted, about 30 seconds. Mix with 1/2 cup ricotta and season with salt. Chill 1 hour. Meanwhile, toss 2 sweet potatoes, peeled and cut into 1/2-inch cubes, with 1 tablespoon olive oil, 2 teaspoons chopped rosemary, and 1 teaspoon salt on a baking sheet. Bake at 425 degrees until tender, about 30 minutes. Thinly slice 1 baguette and toast in the oven. Top with the ricotta mixture, strips of prosciutto, and the sweet potatoes. Season with pepper. Number 2, sweet potato marshmallow dip. Put 3 sweet potatoes on a baking sheet and bake at 400 degrees until soft, about 1 hour. Peel, then puree in a food processor with 1/3 cup tahini, 1 tablespoon each olive oil and lemon juice, and 1 grated garlic clove. Season with salt. thin with water as needed. Transfer to a bowl. Spread a half cup mini marshmallows on a baking sheet and broil until toasted. Top the dip with the marshmallows, pomegranate seeds, and toasted sesame seeds. Serve with sweet potato chips. And 3, sweet potato soup shooters with marshmallow cream. Cook 1 chopped shallot and 1 tablespoon minced ginger in 2 tablespoons butter in a saucepan over medium-high heat until softened, 3 minutes. Add 1 diced peeled sweet potato, half cup diced peeled green apple, a half teaspoon curry powder, 3 tablespoons maple syrup, and 2.5 cups water. Simmer until the sweet potato is tender, 15 to 20 minutes, then puree in a blender until smooth. Thin with water if needed. Season with salt and pepper. Pour into 8 to 10 small glasses. Whisk 2 tablespoons each marshmallow cream and heavy cream. Drizzle on the soup and topped with more diced green apple. Tee up. Not only does the sip fend off the chill of fall, it also comes with heaping spoonfuls of health perks by Julia Westbrook. Better blood flow. Tea is rich in compounds called flavanols, which have been shown to improve blood vessel function and reduce inflammation. According to Chinese researchers, people who reported regularly drinking 3 cups of tea, green or black, a day, had a 20% lower risk of stroke than those who didn't. And another study published in the journal Heart found that daily tea drinkers had a 10% lower risk for a major coronary event like a heart attack. More aha moments. Participants who enjoyed black tea before performing tasks to measure creativity came up with responses that were judged to be more inventive than those of people who drank water. A recent study published in the journal Food Quality and Preference found. The benefit may have to do with our perception that tea drinkers are smart and innovative, so when you enjoy a cup of yourself, you subconsciously embody those characteristics. Cancer prevention. A 2019 preview published in the journal Medicine showed a 17% reduced risk of developing breast cancer among habitual tea sippers, particularly green tea. Though the researchers say more study is needed, they suspect that tea's antioxidants, which help defend against DNA damage, may be the source of this protective effect. And other scientists have found that the powerful green tea compound, EGCG, may help prevent esophageal cancer. That's all for today. This has been your host, Shelley Kapuser, with your Health and Eating Well report. Have a happy, healthy week.